Thank you for joining us at the Table Podcast. Today we'll be sharing Season 1, Bonus Episode 3. In February, we sent a mission team of 13 to Washington, D.C. to take part in Night to Shine with D.C.'s Waterfront Church. On this episode, you'll hear about the trip from four of the team members, Garrison Jones, Linda Martins, Tisha Scott, and Sean Decker. Thanks again for joining us at the Table.
All right. Well, welcome to the Table. We have a special episode for you. Today, we have some members that went on our mission trip to D.C. back in February. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves, and then we're going to talk about the trip a little bit. So we'll start over there with Sean.
I'm Sean Decker, new to the show. So I'm the worship pastor here. If you're watching and never watched, I'm a worship pastor here at First Baptist. And I was able to go with my wife, Amber, and our daughter, Auburn, our teenage daughter. And so we all three went together on this trip.
Yeah.
Tisha Scott. I got to go with my daughter, Trey Lynn, who's in eighth grade. So that was super fun.
Cool.
And I'm Linda Martins. First mission trip, so that was cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And I'm Garrison Jones. I'm on staff here as well with Sean. So got to lead the trip. It was a lot of fun. So I want to talk a little bit about Night to Shine and what that is and kind of how it originated. So the first Night to Shine was actually in 2014. The Tim Tebow Foundation funds them and plans them and organizes them. But kind of a couple cool facts. So I have a couple things here. First off, there have been Night to Shines in over 1,000 different cities now, which is super cool. After this year, they have been in 56 countries, which is super cool, all over the world. Mm. I think it was 43 or something last year, so they bumped that up this year. And then there have been over 55,000 different Night to Shine events, which is super, super cool.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Super cool. So the one that we went to in D.C. is one of the biggest ones in the world, which is huge. There were 400 people that were celebrated, over 600 volunteers, which was super cool. So does somebody want to say just what Night to Shine is, what the event is for, why it takes place?
I'll go.
Sure.
So it's geared towards people with special needs to give them a chance to celebrate who they are in the way that they want to be celebrated. Mm. So like red carpet, if it needs to be silent, it's silent. Gives them a chance to get their hair done, get makeup, get dressed up, and just have a blast, and it's all about them.
Absolutely. Super cool. So kind of a cool story. In March, I went to the state basketball tournament. My little brother's team was down there as he was coaching, and I sat by a guy, and we got to talking, and he was on staff at a church down in the Metroplex, and somehow it got brought up that his kid had special needs. And so I told him about our trip and said, "Hey, have you ever heard of Night to Shine? It's super cool." And he said, "Yes." He said, "It is my kid's favorite night every year because for that one night, he is celebrated and knows that he is special and knows that he is he's creating God's image like the rest of us." So I thought that was super cool that we had that connection. So thanks for sharing that. So tell us about the day of the event in D.C. So it was Friday, February 9th. Give us a rundown of what we did that day.
So woke up, mm-hmm. went and helped out Waterfront Church with loading a couple of things. Mm-hmm. I expected there to be a lot more items, but it went pretty quick, and I think maybe that's because there were so many people who were helping that made such a difference. We're like, oh, okay, we're finished. Helped load up some things, went back, got ready, and then when we were there, we unloaded those items and helped get everything ready, which was a really, really cool experience at that baseball stadium. Yeah. So. Anything else specific
looking for? So tell us what all activities did we help set up there? So what all was there to do at Night to Shine for the people that were being celebrated?
I see what you're saying. There was face painting, mm-hmm. and there was a place for them to get their makeup done if they mm-hmm. wanted their makeup done, their hair done. They had karaoke, which I heard was very fun to watch and listen to.
That was my favorite.
I didn't get to go see that, but I did, while we were setting up, I went and visited a man who was setting up like the balloons, and he was showing me how to do it. So that was really cool. So they got to have the, what do you call those balloons that you
Yeah, make characters.
Yes, or, yes. Yeah, objects. I don't know why I can't think of the word right now. But anyways, they got to do that. There was, of course, the dancing was the hit of the night. There was lots of good food. Yeah, I don't know if I'm missing anything.
I know they took prom pictures. Oh, yes. And lots of selfie stations.
Lots of selfie stations.
I think they had tattoos. Some people were just going crazy with the temporary tattoos.
Yes, temporary.
There were a few games.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot, but a few, like Jenga.
Yeah.
A couple others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. They also had a quiet room. So we had several people with special needs there who didn't like the loud and didn't want to be overstimulated. So there was some quiet areas where they had some mm-hmm. games and things to make sure that everybody was taken care of. So super cool, right? And it was in, you mentioned the baseball stadium. It was basically in kind of a conference area, I guess, of mm-hmm. where the Washington Nationals play. So super, super cool. So tell us about your experience. What'd you like about it? What stood out to you? What have you been telling people about? What do you think from that night?
So I'll go first.
Sure.
So we were there with another church that also brought a team of students and adults to help serve. So there was quite a few there helping load up the truck, like Linda said. And so that went really smoothly. Plus, you mentioned 600 volunteers total. So the unloading process was kind of chaotic, but it just all just boom, 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 and happened all of a sudden. It was sort of like, I don't know, I felt like it was a mad dash, and then the event happened, and then it was crazy teardown,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't mm-hmm. even get to help with teardown because I was with my VIP, is what we call them, right?
Right.
I was with her, helped her get to the door, and then it was already done, mm-hmm. already torn down. So I there's several things that I liked about it. So, and plus it's for all ages of people with special needs. Mm-hmm. I think there was one on our trip, Kaylee had a really young kiddo. I don't know how old she was. She was a little bitty.
Yeah, she was little.
Right. But then there were some middle-aged, which my daughter, Auburn, is 13. And so I'll describe it briefly and then I'll stop talking. For if you haven't gone, they come down the red carpet and people are cheering them on, you know, on the sides. And it's this huge party celebrating people. And then us, what are we called? Buddies?
Buddies.
Mm-hmm. So the buddies are just, you line up. And as a VIP comes down, you get paired up with a buddy and off you go. And it's just crazy. We're all kind of nervous about this just unknown. And all of a sudden they start pairing you up and off you go. And my daughter, Auburn, she got paired up with, I think, around a 50-year-old man. And at first I was like, oh, wow. You know, okay. So, you know, it's just, I wasn't sure how that was going to work out.
Right.
But it's what I loved about that part is it ended up that Candace, who also went on our trip, her VIP and Auburn's VIP were like best buds. And so Auburn and Candace got to stay together the whole night. And so it was just, it quickly, I guess, any fears or nervousness it quickly just abated because, you know, it was so much fun and well run and sure. And safe. And it was just,
Yeah.
Very well organized. Like you mentioned feeling like we didn't have much to do, but I think they've done it enough that it was, golly, as well run.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, down to an art, color-coded boxes, bags, mm-hmm. you name it. You knew exactly where it needed
Absolutely.
To go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So kind of a cool part, adding on to Sean's part there, you talked about they came down the red carpet, but the part that we didn't see much of is they actually got dropped off on the center field wall, and they had an ongoing limos. So they got to ride in a limo around the block and into the red carpet, and it was like a party, mm-hmm. you know, yes. which was really cool. So. What about you, Tisha? What did you enjoy about the event that night?
I have a couple.
Sure.
First part, going down the red carpet, you know, we're on mm-hmm. both sides, screaming, yelling. They're getting introduced like they are the A-list celebrity.
Right.
One of my favorites, I don't know who he was, but he came in a wheelchair, and you could tell he was a Michael Jackson fan. He had his glitter glove and his hat, and he kept popping it, and it was, I loved
Super
it.
Super cool.
My other favorite was back to the karaoke. This gentleman wasn't my VIP, but while my VIP was waiting to sing, he was singing and he was nonverbal. But he could vocalize, he could make sounds. And I don't know what the song was, but he was on the beat. He had the rhythm of the song and he was just dancing and getting after it and loving it. And oh, that one really got me.
Super cool. Super cool. Yeah. Linda, what do you think?
So I thought it was, I mean, I know y'all were saying that it was like really well planned and everything, but like being in the middle of it, it's just, it is such an experience.
It is.
But when the buddies were walking down, I mean, our VIPs were walking down the red carpet, when they said silent, I mean, it was silent. Like you could have like heard a pin drop. Gotcha. That's how silent it was. Yeah. And just so respectful, how respectful everybody was being. And, my buddy was really jolly, so I was nervous, yeah, because, mm-hmm. I mean, the nature of it is there's just such a wide array of different special needs out there.
Sure.
And so, of course, I was nervous, but I got paired with him. He didn't talk a whole lot, but he was just so happy. So just, like, as soon as we got into the event, he found a person that he recognized, and he was just off.
That's cool.
And I think that was part of, they have, the Waterfront Church has Capernaum, or yes. I think I'm saying that right.
Yes.
I'm thinking he probably recognized people from there because he was one of their regulars. But anyways, and he just, like, was off, and he was recording himself, and just watching his excitement was really good. And if I lost him, I could go, like, find him in the food. I could find him the food every single time.
Yeah.
So just that was really cool to see. And at the very end of the event, when they were saying how loved you are and everything, it was just such a good reminder of, even though the event was so fun, this is why we're doing it. Jesus loves you, and you are created for a purpose, you know?
Cool.
And I think that's so important to for myself, or the average person, to also be reminded of. Every single person has a purpose, no matter what it is.
Getting that crown.
Super cool.
You are super special.
So tell us about the crown experience. So what happened there?
Well, I didn't actually get to see that part.
Okay.
My VIP left right before,
gotcha.
So as I walked her down, I caught the end of it. So I didn't get to see the whole thing, so I'm a little sad about that.
Gotcha, yeah. So at the end, they had a gospel presentation from Zach Randalls, who's the pastor at Waterfront, and a thing from Tim Tebow basically saying, hey, you're all queens and kings, princes and princesses in the kingdom of God are important. And so if your VIP was still there, the buddy got to crown their VIP. And man, they were fired up about it, which was super cool. So you mentioned Capernaum. I want to come back to that. I'm going to talk about Waterfront because it's a really neat ministry they have. What about your VIPs? Tell me about your VIPs.
Mine was I think she was around 9 or 10, little girl. Oh my gosh, so much energy. Super fun. She wanted to go everywhere. Parents were there. It was hard to keep up with her, but it was fun. And she got to do pictures. She played games. She did karaoke. We pretty well stayed on that side.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see the dancing until after.
Yes. Cool.
So my young lady, she was 17 years old, and like, we stayed on the dance floor. That's pretty, like, when she got there, she wanted to get her hair and makeup done. And so that took a while. I mean, that process. But it was so cool because when she was in there getting all that done, people would come up that recognized her and just went on and on about how beautiful she looked. And she was just was glowing. It was really something to watch.
Cool.
And so I just, after that, I got to really hang out with her. And she's very high functioning, and she has a job, and her brother was also at the event, and so they rode over by themselves, you know, on the metro and took it over. And but super sweet, and asked me a lot of questions. So we got to talk, and we danced a lot. And I'm not a dancer. Like this body was not built for that. But we did it, you know. And I had a great time with her. And she's very, very sweet and kind. And
awesome.
Yeah,
super cool.
Well, I described mine a little bit already, but he was, he's 21, I think, was it 21 or 22? Anyways, but I mean, that's young compared to me these days. But so anyways, he was much taller than me, I would say. And so, but just a happy personality. And he didn't say a whole lot. He would answer my questions with a yeah or a no or something like that. So not nonverbal, but also not very talkative either. So I don't know if part of that was just being with somebody new. Mm, don't know. But he was fun to watch, but he, or to be around. But I left him just to do what he wanted to do, and I just kind of stayed on the outside for the most part. But yeah, he was real kind. So
cool. So we had a training, a very brief training, mm-hmm. Friday morning, kind of telling our responsibilities, kind of saying, you know, hey, you're here to basically guide your VIP and show them what to do, but please also watch, keep them close to you, mm-hmm. right? Make sure that they don't get lost. That's kind of your responsibility. If we ask you, hey, where's your VIP? You need to be able to tell us right there. So my VIP made it very difficult. My guy's name was Steven. He was a junior high age kid. And from the moment they said go, he went. Ran around the whole place the whole time. He was kind of like a bowling ball and everybody else with the pins. And that was his goal, to knock everybody over on the dance floor. The only time we stopped all night long was when YMCA came on. And we did all the motions. And then we went some more. And so 3 hours. So the night before when we got to D.C., we had left at 4 o'clock that morning. Shout out Otis for driving that bus.
Yes.
Left at 4 o'clock that morning. Got to D.C. mid-afternoon. And then we got to our hotel. Our hotel was less than a mile from the Capitol. And so I told the group, hey, you don't have to go, but we're in D.C. I'm going. 8 miles later, we made it back to the hotel. We
did a couple
of detours. Yes. Yes. But I say that to say this. Yeah. My phone showed I walked more miles on Friday than on Thursday with Steven. So super cool experience, though. He had a great time. He would get real excited. I loved the pretzels. I think we ate 200,000 pretzels. But just a super, super sweet time. You know, he wasn't nonverbal, but very difficult to understand. But we could communicate some. So... I know that it was I hope it was a blessing for him to get to do that. So, so I want to shift just a little bit and talk about Waterfront for just a second. So you mentioned Capernaum. Mm-hmm. So they have a ministry at Waterfront that's called Capernaum, and they meet every Thursday, and it's basically inviting anybody in DC area that has special needs. We have a place for you here. And so one thing that's really cool they do in the summer is Capernaum runs a snow cone stand, and so they run that stand. People can come buy snow cones. It's super cool. But Zach and his staff have a huge heart for special needs people, which is really, really cool. So tell me about Waterfront. So we went to Waterfront is the church that hosted us, that hosts Night to Shine. We actually got to worship there Sunday morning and serve in their kids ministry. So tell us about Waterfront, what you experienced there, what their church is like, what their building is like, kind of how they worship. Give us some details there.
So as far as the people go, and this is a lot coming from me, especially from my cultural background, but felt like home. It felt very homey to me. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't hesitate to go back and to attend the church again.
Absolutely.
They felt like our church to me. And so it was easy to feel comfortable there as far as that went. The building was not just all in one, so the sanctuary was one building, and then it was a block or it's kind of catty corner over was where they had their kids ministries. I don't even know where the youth was.
So it'd be in that same area.
Okay, same area. Okay, and then in the morning when we had gone to church there, they don't have a foyer, so they had like the tent set up with the coffee and just so functional, you know. And so everybody was just accustomed to how that was. And you know, I remember just saying to Amber, like, they're so content with this. It's a small building that's jam-packed and with all the chairs that they could possibly fit in there. They don't have a foyer, and they set up tents in the middle of it. Was kind of rainish that morning or cloudy, and I was just happy to be there. Like I didn't hear any complaints. I just thought that was very interesting.
Absolutely.
And even in the kids ministry, where some of us were helping with the small kids, the way that they had it set up, they like utilize every single corner. Mm-hmm. So they had an entire play area within a small building, along with a classroom and two other rooms where they had the other younger kids. So just seeing that, I mean, we can be grateful for like our bigger facilities, but they were very content with what they had.
Sure. Like here we have an outdoor playground. You know, you can't afford the land for an outdoor playground there, you know, so it's inside. And the weather, too, most of the year is cold and rainy, and so you're right. What else? Any other observations from Waterfront that you noticed that were cool or interesting?
They had it down to an art. Three services, back-to-back, very well ran, had it figured out how they were going to pass out the brochures and get people in, and again with the coffee and the tents and it was raining, which, I mean, you know, for us, we'd be like, maybe we won't go. But they were still there, and they were standing outside, and they were socializing, and it was great. The message was good. The music was good. People were friendly. I loved seeing people from Not to Shine the next morning going, oh, so I recognize you.
Yeah, it was
fabulous.
So cool.
And I've been to a few kind of inner city church services like that, and where they utilize whatever space they can find or rent or whatever. And I think it's super cool. And we think that it'd be an inconvenience in a lot of ways, but you know, you can tell it's just how everybody operates. And, you know, you go drop your kids off down the block and then you go worship and they're doing their thing. You're doing their thing, your thing. And so I thought that was, it's pretty cool. And the fact that this area has grown so much in the last, they told us, but I don't know if you remember
10 years, maybe. A ton of people, like, though.
I think I heard 7 that our cab driver, were you there, Tisha? No. We took, so one of our, I say cab, Uber. I was new to the Uber world, so I'm like, okay. Our Uber driver was so kind and took us, like, kind of did like a little detour, so we got to like stop by the White House. But anyways, and so he was explaining those neighborhoods to us, and he said the last 7 years, this went from like poverty, like where we were going through, and it was not far from where we were staying, like just kind of like a ghetto area, to these beautiful like penthouses and just really cleaned up, which surprised me so much that I didn't see any homelessness anywhere.
Yeah. I think I could, like, 60,000 or 70,000 people have moved into that area, I think, in the last 7 years, which is just crazy influx.
So it's just, it's growing so much, and it's cool that this church has such a neat footprint in that area, and people know them. I mean, you know, so many people walk everywhere they go, and so you know, you're passing by Waterfront Church all the time, probably going to work or to do this or whatever. And so I think it's just cool that they have such an impact where they are.
Sure.
And people know about them, and the fact that they do things like Night to Shine and Capernaum, and you know, they're making an impact.
They are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They are. They really are.
Didn't they start out in the hotel?
Yes. So the hotel we stayed at has a really cool relationship with Waterfront. They gave us really great rates for them. We were super flexible, but they actually did. They started meeting in a conference room at the hotel. Mm-hmm. And so the kids programming is still on the first floor. They rent that out of the hotel, which is super cool. And then the actual worship center is catty corner, a half block. So it's kind of interesting. It's really, really neat. But I also wanted to mention that, you know, last year our church did a fundraiser to buy a bunch of chairs, and we got to see how impactful those chairs are. So the chairs that we purchased from the church are the balcony part of the church. And if it wasn't for that balcony, it was packed with the balcony. And so if it wasn't for that balcony, the chairs are so nice, and they're serving a really, really neat ministry. So it was cool to see the kind of the fruit and the fruition of that we got to be a part of. We have a picture that we can post that we were sitting in those chairs, which is really cool. Then it struck me, it was such a small space, and it would have been really easy to feel uncomfortable because it was so close-knit and there wasn't a lot of wiggle room, but it also was very intimate, and there's something special about that, I think, which is really cool. So some of us went to second service, some of us went to third service. So the way they have it set up is how we do it here. They ask you to worship one service, ask you to serve one service so that they can get the three services in. And so the second service, they told us basically, hey, this is our most full service. If you guys could please sit at the very front. For some reason, the front row, I call it the splash zone, is always open, right? And so if you're in the front, I mean, you are looking, there's not a bit of wasted space in there.
You're
so, but I was super impressed with the logistics and how smooth the transitions were and how quickly everything was down to a T, which they've been doing it for a while now. But it was super cool, super good experience. If you don't know the connections, so Zach Rendles is the pastor at Waterfront. His dad, John Rendles, was in Lubbock for a while, did college ministry. Were you there when he?
Yeah.
Perfect. So Sean was at FBC Lubbock when his dad was there doing college ministry there. So there's some West Texas connections. Mm-hmm. There's actually quite a few people at Waterfront from this area. Yeah. They know Zach, and they go to his church. So it's kind of a cool taste of home, like you said, which is super cool. Really cool. So, and that's this, kind of a fun question. Outside Not the Shine, outside Waterfront, what was your favorite sight that you saw in D.C.?
That's hard.
It's hard. And you can give more than one, but your favorite, like, you've been telling people, you got to see this. Like, what was that thing for you?
I think for Trey Lynn, it was the Holocaust Museum. Mm. that really got her. She got a lot from that. I had been to DC before, so a lot of it I'd seen before, but it was fun to share that with her and, you know, talk it through. And, you know, of course you see the reflection pool and be like, no, remember Forrest Gump.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Just making those references.
Right.
Super cool. Yeah. Well, I am not a city girl. I do not like going to big cities. It's never been. I like the wide open spaces of the beach or the river. So going to a big city, I wasn't actually sure what to expect. Maybe I was kind of expecting shoulder to shoulder like New York.
Right.
But it was a lot of people, but a lot of space, it felt like. It didn't feel like a lot of people. So I think my favorite thing was like wandering the, I say wandering, you're just aiming, not being aimless, but that night when we went to, that night when we went to go look at all the possible monuments we could into that evening, those many miles, that was the coolest thing to me because I didn't expect to like it that much. Yeah. I didn't expect to be so amazed, but it is so cool to see something in person that you only ever see on pictures. You only ever see the Capitol building on negative news, but seeing it in person, it's like majestic. It's beautiful. The architecture is just so, so beautiful. Yeah. So that was really cool for me. I liked all the monuments.
That's super cool.
So we, Amber, I think one day a group of y'all went to like the Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah.
And we stayed back. I think we were just worn out from Garrison making us walk 1,000 miles. But then, so Amber and Auburn and I, we Ubered because we were smart that day, and took an Uber over and kind of went around Lincoln Memorial and then the Vietnam Memorial and that area. And it was all very moving. I mean, the Lincoln Memorial is incredible. I did, you don't think about stuff being so huge, and you're standing right there and reading, you know, the speeches that he gave and things like that. And then you look across the reflection pool to the, is that the Washington Memorial, right?
Yeah.
And then on our way back, you know, so in DC, there's all these jillion, electric scooters that you rent and ride and stuff. And so we thought, hey, let's try that. And so I had to figure out what app it was on and load my credit card and whatever. And so we took off on the scooters, riding back to the hotel, and that we had so much fun, like doing that, because we got to see things again from the night that we went walking around, and so we had a ball. And our scooters kept dying, so you kind of just park them and find another one, and off you go. I don't know how many times we did that, but so that was a fun memory for us, just to get to do that together as well.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'll echo that. You know, I've been in New York, and the Statue of Liberty was extremely underwhelming. It seemed so small to me. I was like, what? This is that not the fake one? That's the real, that's it, you know? The Lincoln Memorial, to me, was overwhelming. Yeah. I mean, his foot was bigger than me.
It's one of my favorites.
Huge. And the marble, and it's just incredible. You know, I think it's, something that stood out to me was everywhere you go, you're within 5 feet of something crazy historical that happened right there. Yes. You know, everywhere. There's not a single, every single building is just immaculate and well done. And it was just crazy. Something else I wasn't expecting. So we were given a recommendation of a souvenir shop. And so we were told it was across from Forge Theater or near Forge Theater. Mm-hmm. Of course, Forge Theater is where Lincoln was assassinated. And so we had a few minutes, like, let's just go in. It was free, good to go. And seeing, so they actually had his, the presidential suite open that day. And I guess that was fairly rare. They said they don't open it very often. And so you couldn't actually, like, go in the suite, but you could go all the way up to it and look in there. And just the,
thinking about what happened,
that's where he got shot. You know, it just was a very, very humbling thing to see, you know. So that was super, super cool. That's the right word to use there, but to be in that place was super cool. The Holocaust Museum was moving.
Yeah.
And I got to go to one in Israel, and it was very much the same. Just how in the world, you know? You guys went to the Museum of History, American History.
We did.
So tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, there's so much stuff.
Were there like 5 floors? I'm like, yes. I got to touch at least every single one of these.
Right, right.
Yes, at least one person was like, oh, this shouldn't take very long. No, it takes all day.
Right.
Oh, gosh, there was so much. You know, the transportation, there was, my favorite would be the pop culture part, mm-hmm. the music, the TV, all those things that you grew up with. So that was fun, kind of seeing the history of it. I don't know. Did you have a favorite?
So we went to like the Bible Museum. So that was cool mm-hmm. to read the mm-hmm. history of like America through the biblical lens. And then this American History Museum was like the history without the biblical lens, which was really interesting to have seen those back to back like that. Mm-hmm. And then you can kind of compare in your mind like, okay, you know, this is how this went. And just seeing it in that light, my favorite part, I think, were the First Lady gowns. Those were so fun. cool, so beautiful. And there's more than you expect. I mean, I know there's a lot of presidents, but I guess that's one thing. But I mean, there was an array. I mean, I could probably pick out more favorites, but that's the one that first comes to mind. But there was just so much to look at.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the Bible Museum. So mm-hmm. we went to the Museum of the Bible. It was fairly close to where we were staying. I don't know if we walked that one or Ubered to that one. But anyway, it was everything is within a mile. The issue is then something else is within a mile, and then something else is within a mile, and then you have to get back. And that's always But the Museum of the Bible, anything stand out to you there that was interesting or fascinating to you? It was a lot. Again, five floors there, and there was a lot of information.
It was a lot.
Anything stand out to you there?
I think just to see how just evidently Scripture has impacted the world. I mean, and throughout mm-hmm. history, mm-hmm. You know, we think about the Bible, you know, the Word of God being something that we use and that's important to us, but really how it's molded the history of where we live in this country, but also throughout the world. I mean, it was a lot of information. Just like any museum, it could take you a day or days to really get a part of everything.
Right.
So it was just how they would tie things into, you know, throughout history back to, you know, how God's word influenced this or that.
Yeah, cool. Anything else stand out to you guys?
There was the room that had all the bookcases, and mm-hmm. I think it had all, you know, certain colors where they were translated, and then there were other ones that were either clear or another color that still need to be translated.
Right.
That was a lot.
Or other languages where it was illegal. Like they couldn't display the language because it was legal to have a copy of Scripture in that country.
So that was definitely, I spent a lot of time in there. It was moving to me. So latest figures are around 2,000 languages that have no part of the Bible translated in their language, which is humbling. Like how can you know, there's of course lots of obstacles. Number one, reaching those people. Number two, many of those languages aren't written languages. So how do you translate the Bible if you can't write it? And so it's doing gospel tracts and doing... So that was a moving room for me. Mm-hmm. I spent a significant amount of time in there just looking. Because like you said, it has different colors. If it had the whole Bible translated in language, the book would be a certain color. And then it was like orange if they had a New Testament. But then there were lots of white ones or clear ones that had mm-hmm. no part of the Bible translated mm-hmm. into their language yet, which was... We have a lot of work to do, right?
Mm-hmm. So I was shocked at how many were clear.
Yes, absolutely. Anything else to add to that?
I really liked the room where it was like how the Bible influenced public school. Mm. And just reading all about that, there's such a negative association with public schools across the country. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, we need to go back to those roots and remember this started in a good place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I love our local public school and I can just, absolutely. Yeah. Anyways, reading all about that and how even literature has changed so much because they started out with the Bible in literature and all of that stuff. So that was really, really fascinating to read about.
It's had far-reaching influence on our mm-hmm. on our society, whether it be church or outside of church, mm-hmm. right? Yes. Everything's been influenced by the Bible. And they did a good job of showing that, but it was a lot. You could spend days in there and not see everything, which was really cool. So, well, I appreciate you guys coming on. Any closing thoughts? Anything that you haven't gotten to say yet that you liked about the trip or anything closing thought-wise?
Well, for me, I'm going to go back to the White House
because
that was it was such a cherry on top because that was one thing we couldn't walk to.
Yes, yes.
We're like, but we can see it, but it was too far. But going up to it, you would expect, I mean, there's riots that happen there. Not riots, what do you call it? Just lots of protests. There we go. Not riots, sorry. So there were a few people there, but I had this huge expectation that it would be like just
covered in people.
Yes, covered, not just people, but like with like cops and just super mm-hmm. security. But one thing I noticed as we walked closer and closer to the gate that like, yeah, shielded from the public mm-hmm. or whatever. But anyways, was if you paid attention, there was Secret Service. And there were just a handful of them kind of scattered in the street. But we have no idea like where all they were posted. You know, right. I'd only have to yeah. take one thing, they'd be all over it. Like, right. like flies on honey. But anyways, that I think that was just really, really neat to see. There's so much history there, too.
Right.
Like, just beyond. And I think that's why it's so overwhelming. It's not just that it's the building. It's realizing, oh, my gosh, this is what I've read about. This is all mm-hmm. the events that have taken place. This has hundreds of years of mm-hmm. history.
Yeah.
Decision-making for our country happens here. And we get to see, like, the church that was close by where the president attends his first church service or something like that. And the first lady's, like, headquarters. And right. I don't know. It's just – it's really cool to mm-hmm. to see. That was, like, cherry on top cool. of all the monuments and stuff like that. So
cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I would say probably just the love that they had for people with special needs.
I loved that
they, you know, branched out. They brought them in, and they are purposely trying to pursue more. Mm. And there's a need everywhere for that.
There is.
And to make them feel loved and appreciated. And that was amazing.
That's right. What I love about Waterfront, too, is it's not just a one-night thing for them.
Yeah.
It's a weekly outpouring all the time. You're yeah. welcome here all the time, yeah. which is super cool.
And then just the time that we got to spend with each other,
yeah, getting
absolutely. To hang out and see each other and just in a whole different lot.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
you know, yeah. you walk that far and we're all tired and cranky. Yeah. You learn yeah. a lot about each
you
other.
Yes. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite part of mission trips is whether it be local or foreign or domestic, whatever it is, you get to know people on a deeper
yeah.
level mm-hmm. because you spend
yeah
every hour with them.
Yeah.
Yes. For a week or for 4 days or 5 days, and you travel with them and you kind of see them at their worst and their best at the same time, you know?
Yep.
And so it's really, really cool. And you have a bond now that nobody else can really understand because mm-hmm. you went together, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
So even though you might not, you kind of get back in your regular grooves of life, you still have that bond and a connection definitely. That nobody else can really relate
yeah.
to. So it's super
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. I was just thinking about, you know, people that might be on the fence about going on a mission trip, whether, you know, there's concerns about safety or if you're taking your kids, what does that look like? And I know there's some apprehension out there and people that, you know, they may not think it's for them.
Right.
And this trip was, I think we've talked about this in our meetings, that it was like the easiest going trip we've ever been on. And a lot of it's because of the people, like who we took. Everybody was very chill and flexible. And if we had to pivot and do something else, it wasn't a big deal.
Right.
And it was safe where we were. And, you know, we walked all over the city and, you know, there was never an issue with safety. No,
yeah.
no one ever felt like there was, you know, something like that. And
yeah.
So I felt very comfortable even with my family there. And
yeah.
and so I would just encourage people, like, I feel like we'll do this again. Like, I think this
right.
will be something we partner down the road with and do it again.
Sure.
But I think if God is putting on anyone's heart to go on mission, I think you should listen because I think this was a valuable trip for my family and my daughter. You know, we get in our bubbles, our comfort zones and in our, you know, first world problems kind of a situation. And then we go and experience another part of the world or other people that have it different than us.
Yeah.
And it is humbling to know that, you know, there are people that have different needs than we do, that they are looked at as second-class citizens in a lot of ways,
yeah.
and that for us to go and put those things aside and really
yeah.
and celebrate someone else that needs it more
absolutely.
Than we do, it was a big deal.
It is.
So that's what I would say.
Yeah.
If you feel, if you're watching or listening and you feel God calling you to go on a mission trip or to take your family,
yeah.
like He'll take care of those details and
absolutely.
It'll be fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I want to brag on Topanga. You know, when we first showed the video of what we were doing, she turned on to Amber, I need to go. I'm supposed to go on that trip. And she did.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
she stepped it out and did awesome, did a great job, you know. So just like you said, that those gut feelings of I'm supposed to go, listen to those,
mm-hmm.
right? We'll be announcing
yeah.
some trips for next year here pretty quick. So I would encourage you to pray about those opportunities, but also look for ways to get involved here too. So, you know, we did Night to Shine in Washington, D.C. this year. Next year we'll probably do – there's – churches in Lubbock, Midland, Hobbs all have Night to Shines. I would love for us to get plugged in next year. Definitely. As a church congregation in one of those places. You know, you can, God calls us to go to the ends of the earth, but he also calls us to go here, right? And mm-hmm. so look for ways you can be on mission. So thanks again for being a part of our Table podcast. We're super excited to get to hear from each of you. And we'll be starting a new season next week, so excited about that as well. But I also want to thank our church family for your support, for your prayer. I know there are lots of prayers being offered up on our team's behalf, and I would encourage you to ask questions of the team that went. Ask them what they experienced, ask them what they did, ask them how it impacted them, because I know that we'd all be more than willing to talk about that.
Absolutely.
So, cool. Well, thanks again. You'll have a great day.
Thank you.
Good job, guys.
Thanks for listening to FBC Seminoles, The Table Podcast. A new episode will be released each Monday. We invite you to pull up a chair and join our table each week as we dig into God's Word together. We would love for you to join one of our Connect groups that meets throughout the week and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9 or 10:30. If you'd like more information, you can call our church office at 432-758-3291 or visit our website at fbcseminole.org.